Roger Zylstra stops his red GMC Sierra and tromps into a ditch.
Here is one of the tile. That's where it outlets.
He points to a pipe, maybe 6 to 8 inches in diameter. Water that drains from his farm fields collects in pipes like this one and travels underground until it finally drips out, here, into a road culvert. This water is called runoff.
If you come here after a heavy rain, do you see it really pouring out?
Yeah, it would have a lot more water in it.
Farm runoff like this can contain harmful chemicals, nitrates from fertilizer the plants don't absorb, or excess pesticides. You might think a landmark environmental law like the Clean Water Act would force farmers or landowners to prevent that kind of pollution, the way it bars factories from dumping toxins into rivers. But the Clean Water Act has no power to stop agricultural runoff. Farm groups have vocally opposed regulation, fearing it will impose specific conservation requirements across the board. While they have urged farmers to do better, voluntary measures so far are having a limited impact.
That was where the rye cover was.
Zylstra raises hogs and grows corn and soybeans. In an effort to improve soil health, he also planted a cover crop here. These off-season plants also keep potential toxins out of the water. He recognizes that
if we don't learn how to be better stewards of the soil and water, that we're going to end up regulated.
The use of cover crops has expanded widely in recent years, but the amount of farmland potentially sending unwanted chemicals downriver has exploded. Since the Clean Water Act was passed in 1972, the number of acres growing corn and soybeans in this country has increased by more than 50%. And the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, blamed in part on pollution from Midwest farm runoff, has grown. In response, several Midwest states, including Iowa, have created nutrient reduction strategies to help clean up the water.
There's nothing about it that's enforceable.
That's Neil Hamilton, director of the Agricultural Law Center at Drake University in Des Moines. Iowa's plan is voluntary, and Hamilton says, while it's long on science and goals, it's very thin on implementation.
The nutrient reduction strategy has also had the political effect or benefit, depending on where you sit, as being able to try to delay or defer conversations about other things.
Things, Hamilton says, like implementing a sales tax increase to fund water quality projects. Iowa voters approved one in 2010, but it's still not in place. The Des Moines Water Utility has sued upriver drainage districts, alleging they've allowed pollutants from farm fields to poison public waters. Hamilton says the suit raises real legal questions, but no court decision will make the water cleaner.
We aren't going to be able to litigate our way there.
Companies have joined farm nonprofits and state and federal governments to offer money to farmers so they will try cover crops and other techniques to reduce runoff. The example of these early adopters can be a powerful tool to push other farmers to try new conservation practices.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Come on in.
Bryce Engbers is Roger Zylstra's neighbor and farming partner.
I get to see all of his data from our yield monitor. We share a combine together. So, we're keeping a very close eye on how it's working.
Engbers says he likes what he's seen from his neighbor's cover crops. He's trying some, too. But he also points out that farming is cleaner than it was decades ago.
I'm polluting much, much less than what I ever did before.
He has made changes, particularly with livestock and manure management. But advocates for water quality insist comparisons to yesteryear aren't the point. The point is to hit agreed-upon goals to reverse the current problems. And repeatedly, the Midwest's voluntary approach has failed to do that. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.